build them.
You should dump that.
What?
You should dump that.
I'm just saying it'd be worthwhile for, you know. What kid wouldn't benefit from a paper route? That's all I'm saying. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's true. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Rick, hey, you might be able to buy that ASP baton at your sponsor that carries battle-ready samurai swords. I never really thought about that. Fair point. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And because all the geeks want me to say it, ASPs, very dangerous. You go first. All right. Well, let me get these two, and then we'll break here. We'll go to Tim Riley here in just a moment. Curtis, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, how you doing today?
What's up, brother?
Hey, there's a website you can go to order that baton and say grappling hooks, manriki chains, anything else you might need to assault a large building, your neighbor.
Not that you should do either of those things.
Nazi war helmets, please.
Grappling hooks and what chains?
Like a manriki chain.
And what is that again?
It's an ancient device. It's a metal chain that you used to strangle people with, saw your head off your shoulders, put it in a duffel bag.
That sounds useful.
We're going to move on now. We're going to... Oh, God.
That was very telling. Oh, that was...
Jesus, God. All right. Thank you, sir. And
Did you want the website?
No, it's okay. You know, I appreciate it, but thank you.
Makes a great stocking stuffer.
Okay, thanks.
No problem.
Okay, there you go. That's...
People can find that on their own.
Jesus, God. Your grub's the lotion on its skin, it does this when it's told. That's totally what that guy is. Grub's the lotion. God. It was a little unprompted.
You get what
giggle.
You ask for.
That really is true. I have, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for the man you're really here for. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State.
I have no response to that.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, I know one person who probably visits that website. The president has praised legislative efforts to authorize warrantless wiretapping in military tribunals for terrorist suspects. This is our first soundbite.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, we're in the news hour.
I'm trying to sort through the...
It's his hour.
Trying to sort through the various soundbites to make sure that I've got the right ones loaded.
No, you weren't. You were probably looking at emails of those switch things.
You don't know that that's true. Okay, let's do this again. All I heard was warrantless wiretap. Here's the thing. I was actually distracted when you said warrantless wiretap because I was actually checking the CNN sheet because I know Dick Giuliano was talking about that, but Lisa Goddard wasn't, although I believe she's talking about that tomorrow. So, let's reset this again, Tim. I apologize. I will.
Oh, not at all.
No, it's... Go ahead.
Bush praised legislative efforts to authorize him to have wireless wiretapping military tribunals and generally make people disappear in imaginary prisons.
I'll continue to work with members of the Congress to get the good legislation so we can do our duty.
Good
okay.
Legislation.
There you go. That comes out of the black bag budget.
After a closed meeting with the House Republicans, the president stressed the need to pass national security legislation.
I reminded them that the most important job of government was to protect the homeland.
All right. Unless, of course, it involves a poor community or, levies anywhere.
That keeps people free.
People who might not vote for him. I hate to just turn into one of those guys. I hate to turn into one of those just because, I don't want to come on here and sound like some bitter, ranting, tired left-wing hippie who just, babbles on in some shrieking New York voice between Crosby, Stills, and Nash records about George W. Bush. Not that there's anybody like that on the radio in this market. But, goddamn, how many more days? How long? Here's the thing about George W.
Bush.
It's
a long way to the next election. You're going to continue to hear these things.
Don't you feel like we've just exhausted all the comedy potential out of this guy? We've wrung him dry. He's like an empty sponge. There's really nothing more to say about him. I just want it to be over. I want this long national nightmare to be done.
You know that John Kerry is out campaigning in New Hampshire already?
Oh, God. You see that John... It's just so stupid. Oh, God. This country.
We need fresh faces, I think.
Is he out there? Never heard of a hobbit. That's John Kerry. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just so It's so ludicrous. It's so stupid. Did you see what he said this morning about the Swift boat guys? That,
yes.
God.
They have more money than he does.
Is he still married to what's her name, or did they get a divorce?
Nobody ever talks about her anymore.
She went into a booby hatch somewhere. Teresa Heinz Carey. She was a, they, man, she, it's like, it's
she's
like,
running an Eastern European CIA prison.
Seriously, she's got one
it
of
those. Promotion.
Teresa Carey's got one of those asps in her hands.
Uh-huh.
Talk now. God, you thought Arianna Huffington was nutty. She's like Huffington times 10, man. No, it's just so stupid. It's like we're flashing back to 2001 again.
There are only so many people around. It's kind of circular. Kind of like we do.
That's what it is, man. Well, we got to hire somebody new or ask.
They get rid of people for a while, then they all come back.
Get that Emerson guy again. That's really what it is, man. If you listen to Portland radio, you know there's just the same five hacks turning up on every radio station.
The same thing nationally.
It's exactly.
Imus has been dead for like 10 years, but he's still on.
God, man, it's like Al Gore's coming to town because he's going to be running in 2008. Hillary Clinton won the primary. She's going to be running in 2008. John Kerry's going to be running in 2008. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, Kerry, Gore, Clinton, it's 2008. We should be, give us new people.
There aren't any new people.
Give us somebody else. God. And so, and the problem is that they're all trying to correct the things we didn't like about the last time. Al Gore's trying to be interesting. Hillary Clinton's trying not to be a, she's trying not to be just an emasculator. Just a, yes, what's that?
Trying not to let the country know she, never mind.
Oh, tell
us. Oh, no, you can't
no.
do that. Hit what?
Isn't she a lesbian?
Who, Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
That's Sarah Dillon who said that, by the way.
Allegedly.
No, I've never heard that.
Oh,
I've heard that.
Okay,
times.
I was like,
no,
don't
I've
make
totally
me
heard
feel
that.
Weird.
No, I've heard that a million times. I don't think that's the case. I don't.
How awesome would that be?
Well, nobody's ever asked her directly.
President?
What's that?
Nobody's ever asked her directly.
I will give you $1,000 if you can somehow contrive your way and just shout it at her somewhere when she drives by. I don't think so. I don't get that vibe off of her. I really don't. People have speculated. I think that's a little bit of stereotyping because she is a strong woman, and so therefore they
assume.
Like
a Margaret Thatcher type.
See, but it's like Margaret Thatcher. I can't even imagine that she has genitals. Yeah, I think that there's. I mean, I'm sure there's something she gets. You know,
she had no heart. She had no kidneys. She had no liver.
She had no genitals.
Oh,
how did we get off onto this? I believe that's a little bit of stereotyping, though, because I think that Hillary Clinton is viewed as very, very strong, and so, therefore, if people assume that she's playing for the other team. I don't think that's the case. bless you. But on the other hand, who knows? You know what it is? I think she's just a woman who's been married for 30 years, and so she decided to cut her hair really short. I think
that
it really...
was humiliated.
Yeah. Boy, man. And she just... That marriage is really fascinating to me, though.
I really thought that... I didn't realize they were still married. I thought that they were divorced.
Well, they don't really seem married in the traditional sense. They don't really... I think that's a whole lot of, like, you scratch my back and you don't get me kicked out of office. I think that's what that is. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to cast a spur.
They probably don't have much of a 401k, but they do have this piece of property in upstate New York.
I don't... And look, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions. You know what? Everybody's relationship is what it is. They're together. They raised a daughter who turned out to be hot and is going to college and whatever, you know? So I'm not, again, I really mean this. I don't want to be like everybody else and just make a bunch of snide remarks about the Clintons' marriage. It seems to work for them and all of that. I'm just saying it is really fascinating. I do get the feeling, though, and I don't know if you do as well. I get the feeling about the Clintons, though, that when they were young and free and swinging in the 60s, they had lots and lots and lots of sex. Lots of it in every way and place you can possibly imagine. And I know that you can't really conjure that now with Hillary so much. You probably can't with Bill Clinton without too much trouble. But, I mean, I suspect that the Clintons just got it on everywhere they possibly could.
Your mind is so weird.
Oh, come on. Like, you can't...
She was kind of a nerdy library gal back then.
Oh, but she's dirty. You can tell. You can tell that you started it. You started it by saying she was a lesbian.
You have been doing nothing but creeping me out the past couple days.
Wow, creeping you out?
She wants it. She's dirty.
She needs my baton.
Had Air America spoken about this, they wouldn't be begging for money right now.
Yes, seriously. Hey, Al Franken, here's your way out of bankruptcy.
You're pussy putting around over there.
Yes, maybe in the restructuring, right after fire everyone, they can add talk more about Hillary's sex life. try to do it in a shrill, unpleasant, unlistenable New York accent, by the way. God damn. All right. I'm sorry. We've just gotten
so... You're really latching on to the New York accent today.
I don't know why. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. What are we doing? John Kerry. So, we're saying that everything that's old is new again?
Yes.
So, you interrupted me by saying... Because I was trying to say that Hillary's not trying to look like a junk buster. And you said, have you heard that she's a lesbian? I was simply going to say John Kerry's trying not to look like a sissy. And did you... He said, you know, because the Swift Boat guys... Those idiots came out and they were like, John Kerry, the bad guy, and it's going on and on about how he didn't really do anything in the service and how he had a self-inflicted wound and all this crap propaganda that was proven to be false. So John Kerry, though, it's too late to look tough. Don't you hate that when guys try to look tough long after the moment has passed? John Kerry said this morning, they said, well, what about these Swift Boat guys? Because the Swift Boat guys have already said, because they're just a bunch of cranks with nothing better to do than pound beers at the VFW. They've already said, well, if Kerry runs in 08, we'll get him again in 08. And they asked John Kerry about it, and John Kerry said, and this is the actual quote, he said, I will kick their asses from one end of the country to the other. It's like, where was that a couple years ago? Where was that when you actually run, when we needed you to win the election?
And he doesn't even have his own slideshow yet.
Seriously.
I didn't expect to win anything.
I have a very gripping PowerPoint presentation that will lay out in excruciating and mind-numbing detail the kicking of the asses. Just that is like the guy who is, you know, clearly going to get his ass beaten by a bully and waits until the bully is like two or three, four blocks away being led away by his friends and does the whole, I should have kicked his ass. I was going to kick it. All right. What? Really? Is this what people are calling about? Okay, listen to this. Says the screen. Jesse and Dante calling about whatever. It's not even labeled. It just has their name. And then it says, Doug, nose girl with funny laugh. Oh, well, let's see, shall we? Oh, it's going to be one of those shows. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is the... Oh, it's Doug, I guess. What's up?
Yeah, this is Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name's Lori, and she's got the most unusual laugh you ever heard.
Why are you calling us about this?
Because I want you to call her and get it on tape, because then you won't even use the McCarthy laugh.
Oh, I see. So you're trying to augment. All right, because we do have and are big fans of the...
she dresses like a schoolgirl, and she's a bartender.
Well, I'm sold. All right, well, I'm going to... Now, does the laugh need to be prompted? Can she do it on command, in other words, or do I need to legitimately amuse her and make her laugh? Do I need to catch her off guard with something funny?
Yeah, you got to catch her off guard. I told her if she gets a call from a radio show, if she had any objections talking on air.
What is the, let me ask you this, what does the laugh sound like, to the best of your approximation?
Well, she's got several variations of it, depending on the intensity.
Does she have an injury of some kind? Is that why she has an unusual laugh? It's not like a through a talking voice box laugh kind of a thing. Is it like a,
Well, similar, but it goes in different tones, slow to fast, depending on how good you make her laugh.
Wonder what type of material would bring a trickle there.
Yeah, I'll go get my Milton Berle joke file. Yeah, all right, Doug, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty, would you? Thank you. All right, Scotty, just pleased to be taking the information about the girl with the funny laugh. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, because we ran out of people to send to Afghanistan, now the Poles have volunteered to send at least 900 of their countrymen to save that country from whatever's going on there. The Secretary General of NATO, whose name is General Jep de Hoop Scheffler, said the Polish contingent might be used as a reserve force to support operations across the whole of Afghanistan.
The Polish decision is a very important one. We're talking about the battalion here. As was said yesterday in the media, in other allies, there's also still an ongoing discussion. So I think in this respect, we're doing well.
And they're sending them where?
To Afghanistan.
And why?
Well, because in Poland they're starving to death. They need better being in the army.
Because there might be some tinned ham in Afghanistan somewhere. Look, I heard that there was a bagel store over there. Let's all go. All right, there you go. Here's the thing I think about sometimes, actually. My dad was not an especially bright person. And my dad, there was nothing that would make my dad laugh like a Polish joke. And for some reason, he thought that was just the apex of humor. And whenever my dad would tell a Polish joke, he always thought that he was the first guy to come up with that particular brand of humor. He felt that he had somehow pioneered it. Like, it was a new and exciting form of comedy that he alone knew. Doesn't that seem like it's a very decade-specific kind of humor? Is that me? Am I?
If you go to, like, a Lions Club, where they have all that smoke-tinged ceilings, the old Reader's Digest.
And they got that huge smoke-a-tear thing that hangs from the ceiling that actually gets rid of none of the smoke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the people with the funny hats, and they still think that stuff is funny.
It seems like one of those things that, I just wonder, and again, I really am not trying to dwell on Polish humor.
Well, it's in America that's long past.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just wondering why them, and why in that one, because it does seem like a very sort of 60s and 70s thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder,
what was the Archie Bunker thing?
Wait, is that, but I mean, it, just what... Like, I really do want to quit. What did they ever do? Was there some, like at a Klan meeting, did they just spin a wheel of countries at some point? And Slovakia, Turkey, Iceland, no, it's Poland. No, we're all going to make fun of Poland for the next 20 years. Just pass it on. This is very confusing. I don't know where that comes from.
I know.
Here's Tim Riley.
The Chicago Research Center introduces the Bionic Woman. New research into the use of artificial limbs has enabled an attractive young woman who lost an arm in a motorcycle accident 2 years ago to turn to robotics to substitute for the missing limb. At a news conference, the bionic woman, Claudia Mitchell, now uses an artificial arm to, the arm has 6 motors in it. She can't get over what she's able to do now with this bionic arm.
This arm, I can reach forward, I can reach up, and I can't do that. You know, that's something you don't think is very, exciting to be able to reach up into a cabinet and get a big can of coffee down. Well, I think it's pretty exciting to be able to get up in there.
And so it's like it's a bionic, is arm. It attached? I mean, it's sewn onto her arm or whatever?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. It's like they have that, there was the thing on the Discovery Channel, they have a bionic fish that they created. And it's like,
why is that needed?
It really isn't. See, that must be the great thing about working for the government or having tenure someplace, is that, like, you don't have to actually have a reason or a cause for anything that you create. It's just like, I get the feeling that in some of these, like, science, these big think tanks that the government runs, it's just a bunch of guys dropping a lot of acid with, like, $1 billion in the bank, and then they can just create whatever they want. And I was reading something today, they created a bionic fish, and it was, it was the brain of a real fish. Like, they got, like, a trout. And had, like, taken its brain and preserved it somehow.
Is that one of your smarter fish?
Yeah, who knows. And then they stuck it, and they created, like, a bionic body. And it was, like, real brain, fake body. And it was like a Terminator fish. And it was the real brain from a fish stuck inside, like a bionic body. And it swam around, and it tried to eat stuff and whatever. It had no idea that it was no longer a real fish. It was so bizarre. It was, like, really full-on, like, abnormal Frankenstein stuff. It's all very strange.
There can't be much inside the fish to connect things, too.
I can't. Well, I imagine it's one of your simpler creatures. But it does.
It flaps the tail and swims. And
no, it's
worms.
It is kind of equal parts. It is kind of equal parts great and terrifying. Let's see. Rick, it's about that MySpace girl. We'll talk more about it. Rick, after Sarah left, after the clue that Sarah left about the girl on MySpace, it took less than 5 minutes to find this person. Wasn't too difficult of a task for a geek. Even the boys from Revenge of the Nerds would be able to do that. Speaking of weapons, by the way, whatever happened to the knife that Sarah was playing with on the air? That's a good question. Where did that knife go to?
I think it might be in my...
Oh, this is good. It's gone. You don't know where it is.
I don't know.
How could this end, badly?
I think it might be at the bottom of this bag.
Okay. That's what you want to do, by the way, is have a knife loose in your bag that you've forgotten about. That'll work out well the next time. And the next time you try to fly somewhere, that'll be a whole lot of, like, you know.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah. Here's the next time you're going to figure out where that knife is. So, boarding pass, ID. She's got a knife! Down! That's totally what that is exactly. And then I'm going to get a call from you asking to bail you out of somewhere. What are these people on hold for, like, an hour?
I don't know. Oh, man, it's raining outside, and I rode my bike.
I did not. I drove today. Mm. So, let's see. Let's find out the... Jesse.
Hey, Rick.
Hi. How long have you been on hold?
Like 25 minutes.
It doesn't say here what you're calling about. I was denied that information. Scotty felt that it wasn't important. What? How can I help you today?
Well, it's about the app.
Okay.
It was used.
Is it last hour already? Okay, yes?
Yeah. It was used by Tonya Harding's husband to bust up Nancy Kerrigan's knees.
I thought it was a, I thought that was a, what's it, like a carjack, not a carjack, a whatever that thing is.
The low-jack.
Low-jack. No,
the telescoping thing. They showed it on, I remember them showing it on the news when it happened. It was.
So this is, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt to tell you. Scotty's apologizing on the screen. He's saying, I'm sorry, I don't have time to screen calls. I'm finishing my masterpiece. I don't even know what that means.
Is he taking up art?
He's creating a 12-part operetta. I'm sorry, no time to screen calls. Finishing my masterpiece. The mind reels. All right, so this is what Jeff Galooly used on Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
So you could do some knee breaking with that thing.
Oh, yeah, if you wanted to win a competition, that'd be the way to do it.
Not that I would encourage anybody to do that.
No.
That'd be wrong.
And, hey, the guy that just called last about the girl with the laugh, are you sure it's not Phil Hendry?
I don't know. I you know, look, we love the audience. We love the callers. It's just some days everybody is on task, as my old history teacher used to say. Some days no one is on task, which is not to say the calls are bad, but we've all noticed this, that there are, and I don't mean this in a fruity, paranormal way, but there are sort of, I do believe in a kind of, there's sort of biorhythms where it's like the weather and the whatever, and it puts people in a certain kind of mood. Like some days, you know, some days everybody wants to call up and just tell the bad joke. Some days everybody wants to call up and yell about something. Some days people just want to call up and just, it's the most random grab bag of crap.
They have a parakeet cage for sale.
Totally. That's exactly where they want to go. How do I get a stubborn stain out of a skirt? Within 10 minutes. You know, that's it's just a lot of bizarre stuff. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. There's Jesse. Good God. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, something must be done to stop polygamy. Therefore, Nevada Senator Harry Reid has asked U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to create a federal task force to investigate polygamy.
That's your tax dollars.
It is done.
Well, it's good that they've solved all the other issues first before moving on the really important things.
Utah's Assistant Attorney General Kirk Ferguson says it never hurts to bring more attention to the abuses of polygamists.
Let's see, where number is this polygamist?
We have been obviously coordinating this stuff for a good couple of years.
Who cares?
It's not like this is an idea that is new, but certainly if Senator Reid wants to shine the spotlight on the issue, I think that can only help.
No one cares. No one cares. No one's going to care tomorrow. No one's going to care next week.
Knock it off.
Let's do one more, and then we'll break. We've got this,
by the way, I've got this.
Ed McCarthy's calling. Didn't we have some story the other day that people in the South are exceptionally fat? Ed McCarthy's got some story about obesity. Apparently, we are losing the battle, and there's a poor outlook for our fight against a childhood obesity. They want George Bush to create a federal listen to this. Have you ever... Talk about misnaming this. But they want George Bush to appoint a federal obesity coordinator. It doesn't really sound like our obesity really needs to be any more coordinated. It sounds like we got that part down. You know, identify food courts, spot opening and mouth, insert, repeat, wash hands. There you go. That's it. And when did everything start... I know this sounds like a Jerry Seinfeld bit, but when did everything start becoming a czar? Isn't that kind of creepy? No one ever points out how bizarre it is that we have czars of things in this country.
And if they do things wrong, they're not taking away and being assassinated or anything like that, like a real czar would.
Not that we would want them to be.
No.
In no way, Tim Riley.
No.
Do we want any of our czars or any federal... Oh, man. Speaking of that... Man, I got just a bunch of nutcases just coming unglued at us yesterday because we were not strongly condemning the idiot, the whatever, that George Bush film.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They're depicting his assassination. Just all of these guys were so angry at us.
Wait, that we're not condemning it?
That we're not strongly coming out and condemning the filmmaker.
Why? It's a movie.
Because it's a goddamn movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, all I have to say to those people is eat me. Eat me repeatedly.
Deep fry me.
deep fry me and serve me on a stick and call me something. Call me a thing. All right. It's 503. Just don't call me late for dinner. It's 503-733-2970. Let's break now. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. We thank you for coming by. Back after this, we're seeing a radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, will teach us all how to coordinate our obesity, both now and in the future. Later on, we have Rockstar Recap, the final edition. What else? Jim Roop, all of that. It's on the way. 503-733-2970. Oh, and Scott, yeah, Scotty J's masterpiece. Stay there. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the final rock star recap of all time. Followed by Never Talking About It Again, ever! We got Jim Roop coming up later on in the day as well. That's a superhero spot thing. Rick, I've been meaning to send this observation on for weeks. Looks like this is my last chance. Oh, speaking of last chance, I really ought to be. Hold on, let me just... She says, over the last few weeks, I've had to watch more of Tommy Lee than I ever really desired. His freakishly long, scrawny limbs, his oh, by the way, and that outfit he had on last night, enough with the low-rise pants, friend. Pull up your pants! I don't mean that in look, I know I sound like an old guy, but pull them up! I'm sorry that Ed McCarthy has to hear me say this. I don't need to see your pubic bone, okay? Just pull them up! Cover that thing! God! You know what? Because his bones jut. Like at any moment, you expect him just to sort of come out of the skin. It's all very ugly. His confused smile, his bobbing head, his spastic arm flailing, his long pauses in the sentence where no pauses belong, regular interjections of and and well. Tommy Lee is slowly transmogrifying into Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. Am I the only one who has noticed this? Yes, he's Brundle Tom. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the South, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, Rick. Well, that would be a marked contrast, I guess, between Tommy Lee and John-Mark Carr, who pulls his pants up way too high.
Well, together somewhere there's a happy medium somewhere. But, I know that it's popular with the kids and all to have the pants that are sort of sagging and whatnot. But I do... Tommy Lee, to the best of my knowledge, is 40... Well, he's got to be 43? 44, yeah. Something like that. I mean, I really officially now... And look, I know that I occasionally still dress like I'm 10, but... I'm not on television either. It seems like at some point you've got to start acting at least half your age. And I think he's still working on that, so...
Oh, I guess so.
All right.
Jeez.
All right. Hey, we were talking about this before the break here. Am I reading this wrong? Is this just sort of CNN's take on this? Is this the actual name? Is the government actually going to be creating, and I'm quoting now, a federal obesity coordinator?
Yeah, it's... Well, you know, they may be doing that to... this is not a CNN deal. This is a poll or a study done by, actually a report. Let's call it a report. Let's be politically correct, shall we?
Okay. It doesn't really seem like this country's obesity needs to be coordinated. It seems like we've got it handled. Seems like
well, you know, they need to handle it. That's the problem. This report is pretty critical of government. This is Jeffrey Copeland. He's with Emory now, but he used to be the CDC director. So I guess this guy, if anybody has a good insight of what the government is all about, probably he does. And, you know, he says they really haven't done anything with this this thing. I mean, he says they get some programs going and they drop them. You know, a lot of times it's budgetary constraints and they'll find out that, you know, where are we going to cut? Well, we'll cut here. We'll cut where we're trying to deal with the fat kids. But, you know, they really are, you know, getting heavier all the time now. And they say that schools, is this... Copeland told me, which I thought was really a great quote. He says, are they dropping the ball on physical education? He says, they're not even kicking the ball. He says, they're not even moving the ball down the field.
Wait, hold on, let me.
A one-liner from Jeffrey Copeland, ladies and gentlemen.
It just says here, and this is right off the page, that the Institute of Medicine has... Institute of Medicine seems like an overly vague... That's like the Department of Things.
The vice president in charge of dust.
Yeah, exactly. Has a new report that on Wednesday, which released... Okay, there's all kinds of weird grammar going on here. Has a new report that released on Wednesday, which... Somebody at CNN needs just a refresher in sort of syntactical correctness.
Is this what we put out?
Yes. Yes. Yes, CNN actually put this out. There's all kinds of missing words here. And anyway, but it says...
It was our department, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It says, right from down the hall, my friend, it says forecasts, and this is actually what it says. Forecasts a poor outlook for the U.S.'s fight against childhood obesity. Now, here's the thing. We were talking to a guy yesterday on this program. He was just a listener. He's called in about something or other. We had talked about Anna Nicole Smith's kid who had overdosed, allegedly, blah, 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 blah. Guy called in. He was talking about how he had been an addict and he had used heroin and so forth. And he kind of opened up the whole can of worms by calling it a disease. And there was a whole argument about whether addiction is a disease and blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to resurrect that argument, but it does, this idea of a poor outlook for the U.S.'s fight against, just don't let your goddamn children eat so much. How difficult could it be?
You know, it's true, and the parents are the ones who are really showing the bad example.
Parents ought to be strung up by their Buster Browns. Seriously.
Now, here's $5, go to school and buy something that's bad for you.
Yeah, and how about you not fill your cupboard with a bunch of processed sugar crap that's going to turn your children into little orbs?
Well, you know, you see all the stuff advertised on television.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that it makes me sound like a grumpy old guy, but I got to tell you, I assure you, I've been grumpy my entire life about things like this. I don't... Look, it's not that our government doesn't have a responsibility to do stuff for us, and it's not that I believe that most parents in this country are doing a bang-up job, because most parents are like most other people, not all that bright, probably shouldn't be doing what they're doing, and I'm a big believer that about 85% of the people who reproduce in this country ought not to have. But by the same token, it doesn't really seem like it's the government's job to come into your house and make sure that your kids aren't putting down Go-Gurt by the gallon. Do you know what I mean?
That's true, and you know, schools have actually... You know, made some strides to do a little bit better in that cafeteria lunchroom. I mean, you know, some of the stuff we used to have when we were kids. You remember what that was? Maybe we didn't gain so much weight because we couldn't eat the stuff.
I suppose. This is one of those things that I look at and I can already feel the hand of government reaching into my back pocket and taking out yet another slice of my taxes to pay to tell kids crap that they're not going to listen to, stuff they're not going to pay attention to, and diet rules that their parents are too stupid or lazy to enforce.
I agree. Rick, were you the guy that threw the food up to the ceiling in the cafeteria?
No, I wasn't, actually. But, you know, is it true? You know, I don't know what it was for y'all, but you know what? My cafeteria had crap food in it. My school cafeteria was just nothing but fried crap.
It was awful.
They never met anything they didn't like that couldn't be improved by rolling it in batter and then cooking it in beef tallow for an hour and a half. But you know what? By the same token, I didn't grow up to be a fat guy because my parents just decided not to have a lot of that stuff in the house. And so even, it is like there's only so much you can eat during the school day anyway. So when I got home, my parents just decided not to fill me up with sugar and lard. And it's amazing how, what a good job that does. I mean, look, I'm nobody's idea of picture of health. But you know what, I'm also not pushing, you know, like 300 on a scale or something. So I resent having to pay for this crap. It bugs me.
Those are the old days, too. They let you out, and they said, we'll see you when it gets dark.
Totally. When I didn't have to put on the damn helmet every time I left the house, when they didn't feel the need to rubberize the entire world for my protection.
I know. That's the whole thing. I mean, there's a web thing out that says, you know, we survived. How come other kids can't?
Really, that's what it is. Raising a generation of soft, spineless children who are going to be killed by the first sharp corner they run into somewhere. Good God Almighty. Ed McCarthy, I want you to I'm just saying, as I always tell Jim Roop, you know, someday there will be, I've always said that there's going to be like an Emerson Roop presidency, but I think we're going to have to install you in that too, and this world's going to run like a clock instead of like a week.
I'm just going to be on the cabinet somewhere and I'll be happy.
All right, there you go, my friend. All right, Ed McCarthy, enjoy it. Well, you're in the South. I mean, let me ask you this, just as a final observation. Are people in the South... there's often a stereotype of people in the South being people of size. Are people in the South large?
It all depends. If you get to some of the areas outside the cities, yeah.
Yeah.
That can be.
All right. Well, okay, there you go. All right, my friend, thank
you
so much.
That's not a specific observation, but, you know, you see them on the 6 o'clock news sometimes, and, you know, you say...
Can I just make a final observation here? Here's something that really ought to exist, and I don't know why it doesn't. I don't know why they don't create some sort of a television set that's actually linked to a treadmill in your living room. You want to get... No, seriously, you want to leverage... the American mindset and attitude towards losing weight, that's what they really ought to do. You want to
sit if the TV's been on too long, the couch starts rocking you around.
Exactly. Or maybe just something where if it detects you haven't moved in a while, it's some sort of robotic killing machine comes out of the wall and chases you around the house for half an hour.
That'll take care of the population, won't it?
See, and then you can put it on television, too, and balance the stupid goddamn deficit. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy right there. Good job. All right. Thank you. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I assist you on this fine Thursday?
Hey, Channel 6 by robotic camera is reporting just a few minutes ago that Supernova may not be able to use the Supernova name because
old news is
the
so
Supernova
exciting.
Name's already been used down in California.
Is that true?
That's what they're reporting.
Coin News,
you got to believe them, you know. They got a...
They are Johnny on the spot
whatever,
with that news.
Oh, wait,
was it the traffic girl reporting that?
No, it was Bill Donahue guy, the real news guy.
The real news. Oh, the guy that looks like Powdered Toast Man.
Mike Donahue.
Is he the guy with
the
dimple
in
his chin?
Mm-mm, no, that's Jeff Giannola.
Who's the guy that he looks like Paul Halama on steroids?
Jeff Giannola,
really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he looks like he ought to be wearing a cape.
No, Donahue's been there forever. But anyway, I was going to suggest that maybe you could fax Gilbert Grape or Ghibli or whatever that guy's name
Ghibli
is.
Grape.
List of names, fan names that didn't make it for the Tim Riley fax.
That's like Wedges of Clyde?
Yeah.
Meat Sofa?
Anyway, I got to run. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great show, guys.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you. That coin, they're Johnny on the spot with that news. Way to break that story. The day after
48 hours later.
Woo, who needs that internet? No. Network news is where it's at. That's... What time is it? 12:45. This show is just rolling by today. What is this? Oh, we're being told by Jerry via Scotty J. People are so stupid. Slow down. Tons of rear-ender accidents out there. Whatever. Yes, because you've never seen rain before in Portland. I don't know what to do with this. It's not oobleck. It's the same thing that falls out of the sky half the year. Never mind.
Actually, the roads get a little slick when it's the first rain because all the oil and stuff has been gathering on the roadway.
Is that true?
That's what
Are
I learned in traffic
along?
School.
Did Jenny Hogan teach you that? I wonder if somebody taught Jenny Hogan that... Oh, no. There wasn't anybody there to teach Jenny Hogan what she needed to know.
It sounds like she's doing a good job.
All right. That's what the listeners all seem to think. Well, with the constant refrains of, I think she's retarded.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Fantastic. Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Good. How's it going?
Am I interrupting you? Am I taking away from working on your masterpiece?
This is probably the funnest day since I have ever been
Oh,
here.
Did you take all the horrible sound bites the past couple days?
And did you really just say funnest? See, when
Yeah, I know
it's that,
a horrible
it's
word. It is a horrible word.
It's not a word.
This day, even though it's crummy, rainy outside, it's probably the best day ever.
And why is that?
Due to the masterpiece.
And what is the masterpiece? Now, can you give us a general idea of what it is?
It's just the final day of getting to use these Delana sounders, basically.
Oh, you're making a giant Delana sounder.
Is that what it is? Is it something with which to send off the supernova the coverage that we've been doing?
Yes.
All right. What did I even bring in here? Oh, hey, let me ask you this. We need to get Jenny Hogan from Coin
right.
on here.
Okay.
Because we've had, I don't know, she went on, 2 weeks ago? And we've had all kinds of we had Dan DeRosen here, formerly of Coin, the other day. And we've had many observations from the audience about her skill or appearance. You know, with however it is she conveys the traffic. Is she doing news, too?
I think that they were going to make the position, where it's a traffic reporter and, a regular reporter.
Oh, this is totally they're going to take advantage of that. Since you're leaving, they might as well redefine the position while she's gone and make it. And also bring us lunch. That's totally what that is. Okay.
So are they redefining her position? Is that what's happening now, or... Is there something going on with her, or is she...
I don't even know.
We've never met her. We don't know. I don't know what she looks like. All we know is that she's some Australian chick that they brought in to replace... not that they replace her, but that, would take over for someone Sarah left. Coin. And she's become this object of fascination because there seems to be some sort of argument among the audience about whether or not she can even speak English properly. And she says things like, Jimmy Jam a Jam, or...
Jimmy Jam.
Jibbity, jibbity, right. Jibbity, yeah, something. So if you can...
Well, if you just call the front desk at Coin.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell them
she'll have a voicemail box.
Say that
huge fans.
We're huge fans. We've been following her since she came on. And the thing is, they're right downstairs.
Right.
Ed Coyne, they're lazy bastards, which is why they would always come up and film us for, like, local news stories, because they don't want to go any further. They're, like, 50 feet away. So, say that we'd be following her for a long time. Be fantastic if she could come on, because we would love to put a face with her or a thing with something.
Oh, okay.
You'll figure it out.
Just all right, I will call her.
Something that, you know, something that, that it sounds as though we know what we're talking about. See if you can get her on. That would be great.
Sounds good.
I feel all unresolved. All right, thanks.
So when can we expect this masterpiece?
It'll be, you know, the final thing you play after you do your rock star recap.
Well, we're going to do the recap at 1 o'clock, so maybe at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
In just like 10 seconds, we'll go back to Tim Riley here at the City Desk as we continue the news hour. Rick, this is what I just said. Todd the Corpse says, something has always vexed me about Polish jokes. Why do Americans tell them? Do we have some sort of scuttlebutt with the Polish that I'm not aware of? We've never been at war with them, nor have they done anything that I know of to us. Why Polish jokes? It makes no sense. No, I was saying that earlier. That didn't make any sense. I have no idea why that happens. Let's see. Also this. We have this. Rick, about Lucas. Oh, this is a Lucas observation. We'll get to these next hour. Lucas reminds me of that guy who pushed the AV cart around the halls in high school, muttering something about effing jocks the whole way. Eric in McMinnville. No, that's why they dig that guy, because they're not doing like a full-on straight metal hard rock band. It is. They do have kind of a glam. Like, I was thinking about this, that song that they ended last night with, the hey, 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 and the wah, 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 and whatever that song is. They are kind of... they are kind of glammy, and not in like the Poison way, but in the sort of Slade way. So I think he fits that. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a new study shows men are more intelligent than women.
Yeah, that's true.
The study concluded that men's IQs are almost 4 points higher than women's. Apparently, claims the glass ceiling phenomenon is probably due to inferiority intelligence rather than discrimination or lack of opportunity.
It's 3 o'clock already.
We know that men have larger brains. Even though you take into account a large man's body size, said the researcher, that means men have more neutrons.
Where's Gary Baumgarten? Let's get him on the phone.
The question is what these neutrons are doing in the man, and they're probably giving him an advantage of processing information.
Of neutrons?
Neutrons, yes.
Okay, this story started...
So there's a big woman? Is she smarter than a big man with a big brain?
What do neutrons have to do with anything? Is this science fiction you're reading?
No, this is a scientific study.
No, this is Lycus's prep sheet.
I just don't understand. It started off at least understandable, and then it devolved. You were just using made-up scientific terms.
So, Tim, did it say that men are smarter because their brains are bigger?
Apparently so, yeah.
But that's stupid, because you only use, like... And there's that whole stupid thing. You only use... And I don't think it's that... When they say you only use 20% of your brain, I think it's at once. Yeah, I think you do use all of it, but I think at any given time...
This is Professor Rushton, who did this research. He said the differences are directly linked to brain size. The study shows men have slightly larger brains than women. We know that men have larger brains, even though when you take into account body size, said the researcher, that means...
Does that mean really like a big fat woman would be smarter than
That's
like a real small
asked.
Man? Oh, I'm sorry.
There's
clearly my brain in action right there.
Apparently, he only investigated thin women.
Can I see? I would like to... all right, can I see that?
Yes, you may. All right.
And he's currently getting a divorce.
Seriously. Focus on the factor... Well, this doesn't make any sense. Listen to this.
That's why I brought it.
A focus on factors such as the ability to quickly grasp... That's really the defining trait of all of our news, is that none of them makes any sense. A focus on factors such as the ability to quickly grasp a complex concept, verbal reasoning skills, and creativity revealed that these are all teenagers, first of all. Males had IQs that were an average of 3.3. Okay, this is how you know this is a made-up story. What do you think the average IQ is? He says, the average person has an IQ of around what, Sarah?
I have no idea.
But just guess.
I don't know how the IQ system works.
Yes, you do.
312.
No, that's a credit rating.
don't be smart.
100.
Okay,
that's
what he says. But that's not right.
It doesn't matter if it's right. It's a news story.
Isn't 100 really stupid?
Yeah, because isn't like it's a 60-year.
I thought 75 meant you were like soiling yourself, and like 85 meant that you were able to clean it up. And 95 meant that you were able to tell somebody you had to go to the bathroom and they could help you. 100, well, that's just sad. Okay, I don't even, if somebody know, because Oh, all right, let's see. This is...
Wait, what does that have to do with the story?
Well, he's saying that the average female, the average person has an IQ of around 100, which I question. And then he says with men, though, it tends to be 4 points higher. So it's 104. This doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, I'm putting this story down.
I'm glad I brought it.
It doesn't. Thank you. Thanks for making our lives.
You should really, program director. You should just email that over to like us.
It's just, well, he's like he hasn't been sent that by like 1,000 different people in the audience already. All right, there you go. And that thing of the IQ being 100 is didn't you? We've talked about this before. We never got it done. Did you? Because you, I don't think anybody in this room's ever had an IQ test.
Yeah, we were going to.
We have you?
Yeah.
Now, was it a real IQ test or was it one of those like online like?
No.
If Johnny has five apples, draw a turtle.
Back when I took mine, there was no online anything.
he had to carve it. Was like,
do you remember
on a
your number?
Stone tablet.
It's like 140 something.
He's a genius.
What?
No, that's not genius.
Really? No, 140 is 140 is totally genius. And here's
why I'm the news director.
Here's, I can't argue with that. Here's how I know that, by the way, because my sister has an IQ of 143, and never let me forget that she's like way smarter than me. My sister's like, I'm a genius, you know, and it was totally, and she always said it with that, you know, Wile E. Coyote, super genius tone of voice, and it was like, and my sister, I mean, God love her, she's great.
And very smart, apparently.
Very smart.
140 something is good.
Yes, no. Well, that's what she said. Well, she claimed. See, now I don't know. She claimed, and don't send me like, because I can see the phone's ringing. Don't send me like some online, you know, promise not to cheat. Take fill in these blanks. I don't believe nothing on the internet is real. Nothing. No test that you take online means anything. Save it for your MySpace page. What kind of lover would you be? What Gilligan's Island cast member would you be? No, because my sister, because she's 11 years older than I am, so I was young and easily manipulated, very malleable. And so she would just use it in, like, the most, like, absurd circuit. Like, we would be fighting over the last piece of toast. And I would be, Angie, I want the toast. You can't have the toast because I'm a genius. And she would just take it away and go to the next room. I want the remote control. You can't have the remote control. I'm a genius. And so that's all it was. All right. Well, let's see. Richard, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. It is accepted that 100 is the average IQ, but I can tell you that 79, an IQ point of 79, is the line that separates the ability to indicate intent. Like, I intended to
soil myself.
Right.
I am a performance artist, and this is my statement on capitalism.
Which means they're probably...
Yes. Okay, so 100... So 100 is the standard. Well, I guess that makes sense.
It's the mean.
The mean. Okay. All right. Have you had your IQ taken?
Yeah.
And what is it?
167.
What? Really?
Yeah.
See, because you always think, let me ask you this. I know we're getting a little sidetracked here. But is IQ testing, is it all crap? Is it like is it though it's being run by the Nielsen company? Where it's all just made up.
I got 167 and I drive a cab for a living, so that should answer that question.
Well, you know, Tim's got an IQ of 140 and he has to work with me, so I don't really know that that's any indication of anything. But I mean, so it's not just black magic. I mean, it is. Do you put stock in it?
Well, no. If I did, I'd be bankrupt.
Okay, but, thank you. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Well, number really can't make your life any better.
Well, it's like that Family Ties episode where basically, it turns out that Mallory had the higher IQ than Alex, and then it was a whole...
in high school, it was all about SATs. Like, who got the high? I did bad on my SATs.
See, I don't believe the SATs mean anything either. The SATs, I think those are... Because some people just don't, as they say, just don't test well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I am a fairly bright person, but you know what? I would bomb the SATs because it's half... verbal, half math, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got no math ability, none. And I don't say that with pride. It's just a sad fact that I don't know anything about math.
No, but that would make sense. People who do better in the arts do not do well in math or science.
That's right, because we are delicate. We are like small pink flowers.
Like wilting lilies with petals blowing in the wind.
Like flowers in the attic.
So regardless of what your number is, you do end up sitting in a room with people of all numbers together each and every day. So what does it matter anyway?
Because we're all brothers under the skin.
I want to give Scotty J an IQ test.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, answer without thinking about it. Rank the people on the show and how you think they do in an IQ test.
Don't
it now.
Look at me.
Go.
No.
Go.
You do it.
Go.
You do it.
Go.
I'm not going to do
Go.
It. No.
There are only four people.
No, that's what I'm saying. Go now.
I think that Scotty would come up from behind. I think that Scotty could score
you
a ball.
See, you're just trying to be contrary there because in your head you think he'd be last.
No, because Scotty is full of surprises. And just because we think that he might not do very well, I think that he might be able to beat us all.
Maybe he's... Scotty might be one of those guys who tests well.
Mm-hmm. I test horribly.
Yeah, I suck. I suck at... I never took the SAT, but I took the... Was it the MAT?
That's enough to crush your self-esteem.
What? They're taking the SAT?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because...
Well, my friends who I'd get better, you know, grades to them do all right, and they got just these ridiculously high scores.
Oh, but you know what? People, look, and Tim, did you do the SAT?
I did.
And did you do well?
I did, but I did poor at other things like physics. Stressed me out so much that I had a nosebleed and I had to be removed from the class. And they brought me down to the gym. And they thought it was brought on by drugs, but no, it was brought on by stress.
The idea of anything of you being brought on by drugs is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I was in
my
high
hands
school.
Are huge.
Well, I was in high school, and if there's a problem in high school, the first thing they think is drugs, regardless
PCP.
Of who you are.
Oh, yeah. I can just see Tim being paraded down there in a sweater vest with the crest on it.
Well, and just in my head, I just have him hunched over the thing with the bubble sheet with the piece of paper, and it's like... You know, and it's some physics question. You know, if there is a gravitational mass of the third Newtonian law, of the, and then just the nose just goes. It's just sort of like a Julia Child accident in the kitchen, just suddenly spattering everywhere. All right, well, here's... we'll get back to... There's people on hold about the IQ thing. We will get to you. Stay there. We'll get back to that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I get a whole bunch of Darwin Watch type of things, so you might as well do
speaking
whole,
of IQ...
they're mostly from Florida.
Well, here's the thing. Do you want to break and come back and do one more segment... And then we'll do the Rockstar recap like at 1:30.
Well,
do
no. It. I mean, yes, let's do that.
I'm sorry. Do you have some drugs to be doing somewhere? All right. Well, let's do this. We'll come back. We'll do another news segment. Because these people want to talk about IQ stuff anyway. See, oh, never mind. Here's the thing with Scotty. Is I think that you know he's listening, and so you're just trying to build up his self-esteem by saying he would come from behind.
He's a 40-year-old intern. Of course I'm trying to build up his self-esteem.
Thing! He can't hear it. He's working on his masterpiece. All right. It's back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I have the best idea. Okay, we'll talk about him when we come back. Here's the Riverdale. Stay there. He's next. He's more.